not be. All right, we're back here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, live from Chase Field, and the home opener for the Arizona Diamondbacks as they're getting ready to take on the Boston Red Sox. Do not be alarmed.
Ooh.
If you see, although it's so funny. So I'm looking out over the crowd here. We're in the fish tank, which looks out over the plaza.
Where's Paul Revere?
And I don't see Paul Revere. I see a guy wearing a Tigers uniform.
I saw a guy wearing a Blue Jays uniform.
Yeah,
that's pathetic. You're pathetic. Honestly, you are pathetic.
Okay, I get it.
You're wearing a Blue Jays uniform. The Diamondbacks are playing the Red Sox.
If you want to wear a Red Sox thing?
I see a guy in a Blue Jays jersey.
If you want to wear a D-backs thing, wear a D-backs thing.
I'm a Yankee fan. Would I show up here today with a Yankee shirt? No, that's stupid. Dumb.
You might.
No, I would not. I would not. First of all, I'm a very big Diamondback fan, okay? I mean, I bought tickets for this game, so my family's here. We are big D-backs fans. And the fact that we hate the Red Sox is good anyway. But yeah. I look at that. I've seen that. You saw a Tiger fan. I saw a Blue Jay fan. I'm like, okay, that's weird, dude. It's like, wear a regular shirt.
Doesn't make any sense.
Don't wear a jersey of a team that's not playing here today.
So
that doesn't look good.
The Arizona Cardinals.
You're not cool.
As you reported, we'll have Kyler Murray in for a workout.
Kyler Murray will be in next week.
For a visit. I don't know if call it a workout or not, but he'll be in for a visit next week. I don't know what he's going to do when he gets here, but he is going to be here.
He's going to wow them.
Which will just add, I think he's already wowed them. It's just a question of whether.
No, it's The Bachelor. I mean, this is The Bachelor. You're going to fall in love with everybody you meet. I mean, it's hard not to. You're not going to come out of these meetings. I hate that guy. Very rarely. I mean, maybe you have one or two bad dates, but you know, you're going to meet Quinnen Williams. You're going to be really wowed by him. I mean, he's a fantastic football player. You're going to meet Nick Bosa. You're going to be wowed by Nick Bosa. You're going to meet Kyler Murray. You've met him. You're going to be wowed by, and now you've got to pick. Got to give a rose to somebody. Who are the Cardinals going to give a rose to? I mean, you've got the number one pick. You get to, you're focused on a small group of players at number one, but you're also focused on a group of players if you trade to four. If you trade to four, you trade to 11 or 17 or wherever you trade to, there's a group of players that you're going to like too. So, I mean, this is part of the process. You don't just like one player. There's a lot of players you like. You got to figure out which guy you like the most.
Well, and there's lots of pockets of players that you have to like. You have to figure out who you like at one. You have to figure out who you like at four if you move down to four. You have to figure out who you like at 15 if you make a trade with Josh Rosen going to Washington and you get their 15th overall pick. I mean, you can't. We're so hyper focused on the number one pick because it is the number one pick. But if you're Steve Keim and Terry McDonough and everybody over there with the Cardinals, you have to focus on all these little pockets, all these different things. So let's talk about something different as it relates to the number one pick. Because we got the Murray visit next week, and obviously we know that's going to be a big important moment. They're just coming off the back end of visits with Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams.
Yes.
And these are two, as we talked about yesterday, very impressive football players with very impressive resumes. Two guys that if you had a franchise quarterback, you would be thrilled to get with the number one pick. I mean, Nick Bosa, we've seen what his brother can do. Quinnen Williams, I heard Calvisi this morning on Doug and Wolf's show when some league executive told him, hey, just think Reggie White. Quinnen Williams, think Reggie White, which is high praise. I don't know if he's going to get that good. These are two very good football players. Todd McShay had only two players in his top tier in this NFL draft. It's Bosa and Williams.
Okay.
So the Cardinals are trying to figure out which one among these guys they like the best in case that's what they go.
I feel very confident, okay, in leading you in this direction. If it comes down to a decision where they're not trading the number one pick, and they're not taking Kyler Murray, I'm very confident that they will take Nick Bosa. That it will not be Quinnen Williams, but that it will be Nick Bosa. I have felt this way all along throughout this whole process. Look, Quinnen Williams is a freak athlete. He's a great player. Nothing wrong with him. But there is something about Nick Bosa that makes a lot more sense for him to come to the Arizona Cardinals. He is a dynamic pass rusher in the 3-4 that they're going to play. You've got Chandler Jones, who's probably got a couple good years left, and you're going to need to find a younger version. You've got Terrell Suggs for 1 year. Bosa really fits in this Vance Joseph defense. He is – now, the injuries are a concern. I mean, obviously, he's had a sports hernia, and he's got an ACL injury, but everybody's got something. But I would feel very confident leading you towards Bosa over Quinn and Williams if they're going to stick at one, which we don't know that they're going to do that, but if they do stay at one and they don't trade the pick and they don't take a quarterback,
yeah.
I'm very, very confident that it will be Nick Bosa.
And to me, I'm glad you said that, because to me that's where Quinn and Williams comes into play. And that's if the Oakland Raiders are so smitten with Kyler Murray, and if this whole time it was just a game to extract maximum value out of the number one pick, if the Cardinals move down to number four, they're not getting Nick Bosa, obviously, at number four. He's going to go to San Francisco at number two, you would expect.
They're probably not getting Williams either.
Okay, but can I tell you a scenario in which I think they might?
Give it to me.
Well, you know the scenario. I mean, I've told you the scenario before.
Yeah, the Jets.
I think the Jets are moving out of three. I think the Jets are going to move out of three. There's been a for sale sign on that pick for a month now. I think the Jets gave up value to move up to three last year, and probably are thinking we're in a position now to get that value back to move out of three. I think they gave up, what, 3 second-round picks, right?
Yes.
To move up three spots last year, if I remember, to get Sam Darnold. I think they're moving out. I really do. I think they're moving out of that spot. And when they do, I think a team is going to move up, either the Giants to make sure they get Haskins if they decide they don't want Rosen, or some team that wants to make sure they get ahead of the Giants to get Haskins if they're so smitten with them. And I think when they do, and a quarterback goes third because the Jets move out, Quinn and Williams is potentially sitting there at number four.
And that's
the scenario
I see.
That's
a good scenario. That's a good scenario. I do not believe that Josh Allen would be in play for the Arizona Cardinals. I do not believe
that. If they move to four?
If they move to four.
And Quinn and Williams went third?
And so if it does go that direction, I don't think. So if it does go, Oakland makes the trade.
Okay.
Oakland takes Murray, then Bosa goes, and then let's just say Williams goes third. Okay, the Jets don't make a trade. They take Quinn and Williams. I don't believe that Josh Allen, the next best pass rusher, is in play for the Cardinals if they drop to four. I think they go a different direction. Maybe another trade down or a different type of player, but I don't think that Josh Allen is a guy that they would take with a top five pick.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yep.
Just not the feel you get, just not the vibe that you're getting off of. Okay, that's interesting, because that would be.
So if they're there at four, I'll tell you this now, and I'll remind you again on draft day. It's not going to be Josh Allen.
Hmm.
So if the draft does go Murray 1, Bosa 2, Quinn and Williams 3, everybody's going to be saying, okay, here comes Josh Allen. It won't be Josh Allen.
Well, if that happens.
I don't know what they'll do, but I don't think it'll be Josh Allen.
Okay, I'm just thinking out loud here. If the Jets stick at 3, which again, I mean,
they could take Quinn and Williams there.
And they could take Quinn and Williams there. Then I would think the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals, might have ample opportunity to trade out of that spot again.
For somebody to
come in and get a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be
same
looking.
Philosophy you had with the Jets at three,
sure,
would then be with the Cardinals
right
at four.
If the Jets don't find a deal that they like, I think the exact same philosophy is in play here. That if they take Quinn and Williams and stick at three, then I think the Cardinals are going to get some calls to do a double trade down and pick up even more assets
In a nutshell, they wouldn't. I don't believe they'll take Quinn and Williams at one. I think they could take him at four, but they wouldn't take him at one. They would take Bosa over him. And if they are at four, I don't believe that Josh Allen would be in play for the Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals on the clock with the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft. You could be there to experience some history.
This is phenomenal.
It really
this
is great.
Fantastic.
Text the word clock to 620-620. Do it right now. Clock to 620-620. Your chance to win a trip for two to Nashville for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience. It's courtesy of Cherish.
That's
Cherish.
Awesome.
All natural, 100% cherry juice. He's making his return to Chase Field, and he's doing it in a Red Sox jersey. But according to J.D. Martinez, in his words, he could have very easily still been playing for the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll explain coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
D-backs on deck as we're live from Chase Field.
Woo-hoo.
For the home opener for the Arizona Diamondbacks. It is strange.
Oh, it's great.
We're very accustomed to opening day being opening day for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, we're both kind of pissed a little bit, aren't we? I mean, I'll be honest with you. We are. Like, I'm kind of pissed right now. Like, I've got a ticket in the stadium, and I got my family. My wife and son are out here. We went over to Willie's Taco Shop, and we had some lunch. And then they went in, and I'm sitting here doing the show with you, and a game's going to start in an hour.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize doing the show me could make you so upset.
Angry. Listen,
we're always in there for this.
Every single one. Yeah. We've never missed an opening day. And it's just the timing. Like, it's a weird time.
Well, because of the 4 o'clock start.
4 o'clock start.
Boston Red Sox, all that stuff. The fact that they opened on the road, and so they've already got a – usually – I can't remember the last time the Diamondbacks opened a season on the road. It seems like we've been really spoiled with them opening at home the last few days, or the last few years.
Yeah.
But it is weird. I mean, I'm going to, at some point when the show's done, I'm going to pop into the stadium just so I can say I was there for the home opener, because I've never missed a home opener in the entire history of the Diamondbacks organization.
Here.
Just to say I was there, I'm going to do it. So tonight's pitching matchup brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Rick Porcello, the righty for the Boston Red Sox, with the unsightly 13.5 ERA so far this year. His one start this season, he lasted only 2 2/3 innings, gave up 9 runs, but only 4 of which were earned. Going up against Zach Godley, he also of an unsightly 11.81 ERA. The righty is 0-1 on the season. In his first start on the year, he had all sorts of issues against the LA Dodgers. 5 1/3 innings, gave up 7 earned runs, gave up a couple home runs, and the throwing issues of Zach Godley became an issue again. Not throwing to the plate necessarily.
Yeah, the bunts thrown at the first.
Throwing to the base. It's been a problem for Zach Godley, and it would appear that it is still a problem for Zach Godley.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, Zach is a very capable pitcher to be like, you know, a fourth best guy, you know, could be a 3 on some teams, more likely a 4 on most teams. He's a guy that we've come accustomed to being a guy that gives you depth. He goes deep into the games. He gives you 6 or 7 good innings. He keeps you in the games, and you know, somehow when it's over, somehow he'll go 6 1/3 or 6 2/3 or 7 1/3, and he'll give up 3 or 4 runs and you'll be in the game. I mean, he's not going to overwhelm you, but he's a battler. Like, he doesn't panic when the bases are loaded and there's only one out or two guys get on base. He settles down. He likes the pressure situations. I've always liked Zach Godley.
Yes,
you know that.
Have.
He's a guy that I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of his. But he did have a bad first outing against the Dodgers, and everybody's going to expect him to bounce back and pitch better today.
And he had a very uneven last year for the Diamondbacks. There's just no other way to put it. He never, that Zach Godley magic that he had 2 years ago, he never really found it, I thought anyway, last year for the Diamondbacks, consistently, very inconsistent all season long. J.D. Martinez makes his return to Chase Field tonight, and in meeting with reporters before today's game.
This was fascinating.
It really was. Mm-hmm. Here's some sound on it, and then I'm going to read you some quotes from a story that Nick Pecoro did on AZ Central. This is J.D. today. I enjoyed my time in Arizona.
For me, I just got caught up with the team and the great thing they had going on here. You know, 2017, that was a special time, and they had a great team, and you know, to go into the playoffs, obviously it was short-lived, and that was something that was kind of sucked, but I mean, it was fun. I had a really, really good time here.
But in a story on AZ Central, in quotes that Nick Pecoro was able to get at some point before this series, JD, quote, "I don't want to really get into the details of the negotiations, but it could have got done. I think so. Easily." Close quote.
Easily. He wanted $200 million. Like,
he got 5 years, 110.
He got 5 years, 110.
I mean, well, what he wanted and what he got are it's kind of like the Goldie thing. What Goldie wanted was one thing. What he got was something else. So I'm not too hung up on what he wanted, because what he ultimately got is sort of the launching point for this conversation, isn't it?
What's the date J.D. Martinez? Look up the date J.D. Martinez signed with the Boston
February
Red Sox.
19th. I don't have to.
When did Steven Souza sign with the Diamondbacks?
It was like the next day?
Was
two
it the next
days
day?
Later? It yeah. wasn't long after that.
It was right away, right?
It was right away.
Right,
it was right
quick
away.
Response. Listen, I was in the middle of that. We reported that the Diamondbacks were willing to bring J.D. Martinez back. If he could not get the big deal that he wanted, they were willing to bring J.D. Martinez back on a one-year deal or a 2-year deal, but nothing more than that. So if he wanted to test, you know, a 2-year deal with a player opt out, so he would have the ability to opt out after 1 year and go test the market again. Or if he had a bad year and a down year, well, then, you know, he could have taken the 2-year deal. They were not willing to go any further than that. The numbers that he wanted at the time were $200 million. He ended up signing for $110 million at the time. $110 million. You know, with there was still a possibility at that time for Paul Goldschmidt to come back. They had Zach Greinke's contract, Yasmani Tomas's contract. When they got him, and I remember this vividly, I asked flat out, is he a rental or is he here? Can he be here long term? He's a rental player. We are renting him for this stretch run. That's it. We're not going to be able to keep him.
Right.
They did not believe they could keep him. Now, when he tested the market and he couldn't get his $200 million, well, then they jumped into the fray.
Well, that's what gave rise to the belief that they could keep him, because the market didn't respond. And why the market didn't respond to that unbelievable half season they had with the Diamondbacks is still in some ways beyond me. But when the market was chilly, I think that's when the Diamondbacks thought, you know, on second thought, we might have a shot at this.
On a 1 or a 2-year deal, but they weren't going 5 years.
It's funny. Scott Boras is quoted in this article, and he said that he thought the Diamondbacks' unwillingness to go beyond 2 years was because of Goldie's contract situation. Here's what Boras said, and it's quoted. Quote, I assume it was really about Ken's loyalty to Goldschmidt, where he didn't want to go beyond the 2 years of Goldschmidt's contract. And then Boras goes into the reason why he was trying to talk Ken out of it. But then he says, quote, to his credit, he was a loyal owner and he wanted to make sure he didn't do anything to impair his ability to sign Goldschmidt. And for that reason, he did not want to go beyond the 2 years. Because at that time, Goldie had 2 years left on his deal.
Right.
And it's almost like Boras is saying, it's not almost, Boras is saying, that Ken would have thought it might have offended Goldschmidt or might have impaired their ability to retain
Goldie. If they had
Goldie,
paid JD $20-plus million.
If they had given JD a 5-year deal and paid him $120 million.
And Goldschmidt's making $11 million.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, it does make sense.
And that's why Boras thinks the Diamondbacks just weren't willing to go big on the years with JD Martinez.
He was brought in as a rental player. They said it at the time. He's only a rental. We're going to use him for the stretch run. Everybody knew it. We all talked about it. You know, they're not going to bring him back. He's just here for a rental. Enjoy your time with them. And then he mashed. He went crazy. Vince Marotta had a great line earlier in the day. If JD Martinez would have been the normal JD Martinez, then they might have been able to keep him. But then JD Martinez went out and played like Babe Ruth.
Pretty much.
And he priced himself out.
He slugged Vinny over 700 when he was a Diamondback.
Right.
It was remarkable what he
Vince
did.
Vince was 100% right. If he had come in here and just did a decent job, hit some homers, drove in some runs, was a nice player, then maybe they could have kept him. But he decided to go be Babe Ruth for 3 months.
JD Martinez today, did you want to stay in Arizona?
You know, I did. I loved it. And, you know, I really did, you know, want to come back. And it was something that, you know, I told my agent that I was definitely up for. But obviously it's a business and things don't work out. And, you know, I found a place in Boston. I found a home in Boston and, you know, I could be happier.
And then specifically he was asked, why didn't Arizona bring him back? Here was his response. Again, this was just about a couple hours ago.
Go talk to Hazen and then I don't know.
Go talk to Hazen, man. Go talk to Hazen about that. Don't talk to me. I mean, look. The timing of this is kind of awful news for the Diamondbacks. There was that instant backlash when
Goldie
got his contract and it seemed very affordable. And now,
but that I'm telling you,
here's JD saying it easily could have happened that I could have stayed, but it's not a great look for the organization. I think we can agree on that.
The contract that Paul Goldschmidt signed with the Cardinals, and I've told you this, was never available to the Diamondbacks when they were discussing this with him last spring. That was never an option.
By the way, the Souza trade happened on February 20th. So literally the day after.
The day after.
The day after. Martinez, because I remember we looked it up. We were trying to figure out when Bryce Harper was going to sign. We looked up J.D. Martinez a year ago. He signed on February 19th. The Souza trade happened literally the next day. The Arizona Cardinals will meet with Kyler Murray next week. Gambo was able to find that out earlier today. Is it an indication of their plans or just more due diligence? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You've been listening to D-backs on Deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Sports Desk.
Happy home opening day to you here on the flagship home of the Arizona Diamondbacks, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Gambo and I live from what we call the fish tank, which, if you don't know, is a glass-enclosed studio that does, from the outside, look an awful lot like a fish tank. It's right here in the plaza at Chase Field. We don't come down here as often as we used to. Usually when we're broadcasting from down here, we're
free
down
the
on the
fish.
Field. Yes. Don't tap on the glass. It angers the animals.
Yes.
Thank you. But
my wife would like to set us free. She doesn't believe in dolphins and whales.
We're fine. We'll be okay. We don't need to be set free.
Tanks.
Of course, our obsession today is about baseball, but Gambo got some news about, I don't know, 20 minutes before we went on the air today. Why don't you tell everybody what you found out about the Arizona Cardinals and what's going to go down next week?
Well, what I could tell you is, everybody knows that Bosa is in town and Williams is in town. They're meeting with those guys. What I can tell you is that the Kyler Murray visit will be next week. Kyler Murray will visit with the Arizona Cardinals next week. I'm expecting it to be mid to late week. I don't have a date exactly, but mid to late next week. But Kyler Murray will visit with the Arizona Cardinals next week. Interesting week, but it's also the week that voluntary workouts open up for the Arizona Cardinals. And as we reported a few days ago, the Arizona Cardinals, I do expect that Josh Rosen will report. And he will be there for the voluntary workouts. Now, unless something changes and they're going to trade him and they tell him to go home, he's going to be there. But Kyler Murray's visit will take place next week. A lot of people have been wondering, when's it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Yes, it's going to happen. It'll be next week. Kyler Murray will visit with the Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, there is a kind of an obvious angle here. And in most situations like this, I tend to believe the obvious is kind of true. The obvious thing is, when you're making a decision of this magnitude, of course you're going to have the young man in for a visit. Of course you're going to use one of your 30 visits on bringing Kyler Murray in. I mean, you have to. You wouldn't be doing your job if you're Steve Keim or if you're the Arizona Cardinals and not setting up a visit with him. It's just, there's so much about this that we don't know that at some point, and I don't know when it's going to be, but at some point, we are going to know the intentions of the Arizona Cardinals with the number one pick. We're going to. You're going to break it. Schefter's going to break it. Someone's going to break it. It's going to get out. And I just wonder, with the draft, what, 2 weeks and 6 days away, right? 3 weeks from yesterday away. I wonder at what point we're going to learn what their intentions are. Will it be next week after the visit? Is the visit next week due diligence, or is it the final confirmation the Cardinals need to know that Kyler Murray should be the
final
number one pick?
Countdown.
I mean, exactly. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, it's to just get, hey, here's what's going to happen. You know the way I like to work a lot of times with stuff like this, with process of elimination and things like that. You know, today I'm eliminating Williams as a possibility to be drafted number one overall. It's not going to be Quinton Williams. It'll be Bosa, Murray, or a trade. I also don't believe that Josh Allen would be in play if they move down to four. So there's certain things that I like to look at and you gather information, and then, you know, you try to eliminate this, and then eventually you come to the answer because you've eliminated everything else. By process of elimination, here's what's going to happen. Or by that time, maybe I just know.
Yeah.
But a trade is an option. Taking Murray is an option, and taking Bosa is an option. There are no other options. Was it Pete Prisco has the Cardinals taken Quinton Williams, I think?
Yeah, Pete Prisco was doing a podcast on CBS Sports. I'm glad you reminded me of this because I have the sound right here. Pete Prisco and Will Brinson were on the Pick 6 NFL podcast. Now, keep in mind, Pete Prisco...
Is Will Brinson the guy that got punked on that ESPN show?
That was Will Cain.
Oh, Will Cain, sorry.
Will Cain was not very happy about that on
I saw some guy get punked.
April Fool's Day. No, Pete Prisco and Will Brinson, they're doing a podcast. Now, what I was going to say was, Pete Prisco is a guy who historically has been very pro-Cardinals. Just in reading his writing, what he thinks about Steve Keim, what he thinks about the organization, I wouldn't call him a fan. I don't think he's a fan, but I think he respects how the Cardinals do their business and operate and things like that.
Okay.
He was doing a podcast, and he said, I just have this funny feeling that it's not going to be Kyler Murray going number one.
I'm starting to get more and more feeling from around people in the know that I don't think it's going to be Murray number one overall.
See, I mean, we talk about this a lot on this podcast, but I like hearing that from you, because my spidey sense on the Cardinals is that they want to trade down. Do you think there's any chance they would take Quinnen Williams number one?
Yes.
I made that bold prediction yesterday or earlier this week.
I'm just doing my latest mock draft, and I got Quinnen Williams going number one overall.
Wow, you're going to get some clicks on that one.
Now you say no, it's not going to be Quinnen Williams
the Spidey
number one.
The Spidey sense isn't working right for
me. Well, no, he said his Spidey sense was to trade down.
Oh, okay, okay.
That was his Spidey sense was trade down. I'm pretty sure he said that.
Listen, I feel very confident in telling you that if they're picking number one and they're going to take one of the defensive guys, that'll be Nick Bosa.
I guess what
that
I want
– will not be Quinnen Williams. Bosa's just a better player. They're both good. They're both really good. But Bosa's a better fit, and he's a better player. And I expect that Bosa's going to be ranked higher on their board than Quinnen Williams is. So I will not so rule out Quinnen Williams as the number one pick. It's not going to happen.
What I want to know is the Kyler Murray effect the same one that reportedly caused John Gruden to basically fall in love with the kid? Is the Kyler Murray effect going to happen when he's here next week? You know, and we don't know the answer to that. This is more speculation than I'm hearing this or my people are telling me this or whatever. This is just sort of wondering out loud. Because remember, the first time they met Kyler Murray was at the Combine. Okay, that's a very brief encounter. Second time they met Kyler Murray, they flew to Norman, Oklahoma. We tracked the flight. Right, which seems ridiculous but we did. Somebody sent us a link, and we tracked the flight, and we found out they were in Norman, Oklahoma for about 3 hours, okay? Not enough time to really dive into the deep X's and O's. Not enough time to dot every I and cross every T. If he's coming in for a visit next week, what I want to know, will the Kyler Murray effect take place, the same one that after the Raiders had their visit with Kyler Murray, all you heard was, oh, my God, John Gruden loves the kid. He just loves the kid.
Okay, if you're doing an interview, and you've been interviewed before, I never have, would you – what?
Nothing. Okay.
I never had to be interviewed.
Okay.
Would you –
What a strange life you've lived, my friend. What a strange life
Maybe
you've lived.
Maybe someday I'll be like, you know, I'll be like the greeter at Costco or something, and they'll interview me for the job.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean –
What a strange life.
Be bored
life
when
been.
I'm older. And yeah.
All right, so go ahead with your hypothetical.
Would you rather be interviewed first or last?
Oh, you know what? I don't – if I'm the best
– Last impression?
Nah, if I'm the best, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
If I'm the best candidate for the job, it doesn't matter whether I go first or last.
Wondering if there's an advantage that Murray's coming in after Bosa and Williams.
I'm sure some professional job seeker out there, some headhunter, some corporate headhunter will tweet us at Gambo987 or at Bernsey987 and say, oh, you definitely want to go first, or oh, you definitely want to go last. So, studies show and science shows and history proves. I don't know, man. I think if I'm the best candidate for the job, and I believe I'm going to present myself as the best candidate for the job, it doesn't matter if I go first, fifth, tenth, or dead last.
All right, I don't know. I've never been in a situation before. So,
if you ain't first, you're last.
but is Kyler Murray going to come in here and just
wow them?
Knock
yes.
Steve Keim's sock to the
yes.
point where he goes, oh my God, we got to have that guy.
You know, I mean, maybe.
We don't know. I mean, we don't know. It's
are they keeping the number one pick? They're either taking Murray or Bosa. That's it. If they're keeping the number one pick, it's either Nick Bosa or Kyler Murray. Rule out everybody else. Rule out Quinnen Williams.
Okay, that's fine, but that doesn't really answer my question. I mean,
I don't know. He hasn't been here yet.
I understand that, but that's what I want to know. I want to know if after that visit that as he gets into the limo and the limo's heading to the airport and Steve and Cliff and Michael are out there. Okay, bye. Have a safe flight. Thanks for coming.
Bye-bye.
But the minute that car pulls out of the parking lot, Steve turns to Cliff, who turns to Michael and says, that's our guy. We got to have that guy.
Maybe.
Got to have me some Kyler. And I don't know the answer to that question. I really don't. But it happened in Oakland, and I guess that's why I'm asking. It seems, according to reports, to have happened with the Oakland Raiders, where John Gruden just went goo-goo gaga over Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And he possesses that ability to make teams go goo-goo gaga over him. Will he do it to the Cardinals next week when they visit? I don't know. I don't know, and you don't know, but that to me is the fun speculation.
Listen, we both think that they probably are pretty sure what they're going to do right now.
Probably.
So the meeting with Murray will either confirm you know, what their beliefs are,
or make them second guess
what their beliefs are.
Or
one or the other,
or,
right?
Or make them
confirm or deny,
or make them doubt themselves a little bit. If right now they're like, oh, we know exactly what we're doing. We're going to take Nick Bosa number one. That's what we're going to do. Is there anything Kyler Murray can do in that visit next week to change their minds, to make them go, you know, boy, on second thought, we have something to think about here? Or are they already locked into knowing exactly what they're going
to do? Well, that's why you have these meetings. It's getting to know you, getting to know all the things about you. You know, that's what it is.
Did you just quote that song?
I did. I don't know what song that is.
I think it's called Getting to Know You, I believe is the name of the song. I don't know. It's
Mary Poppins?
It's probably from the
Getting 40s,
you, if you're quoting it.
Getting to Know All the
if it's,
Things
If it's you
about
quoting
you.
It, it's probably a song
According
from,
to Twitter, that would be from The King and I.
Getting to Know You.
with Yul Brynner?
See?
The King and I with Yul Brynner?
I just quoted The King and I.
Wow. I believe that is a musical from the 50s.
How about that? I wasn't even born then.
I know. It's almost like you're older than you actually are. How about that? It's a miracle of science. You're 52,
you've got
the soul of a 70-year-old.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
And you wonder why I walk around with such a young wife.
Because you got to do something to make yourself feel
makes
young.
Makes me feel younger.
Got to do something to project youth, because God knows it's not coming from you or your choice of music. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock with the number one overall pick in this year's draft, and you could be there to see it. Text the word clock to 620-620 for your chance to win a trip for two to Nashville. For the Cards on the Clock, the ultimate draft flyaway experience. It's courtesy of Cherish. Cherish All Natural 100% Cherry Juice. Again, text the word clock to 620-620. The Suns play their final home game of the season tonight. As difficult as this year has been, there have been some positives this season. I mean, there have been, right? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Dave Burns.
Y'all, Burnsy, thank God you're so smart.
John Gambadoro.
John Gambadoro here on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
The Burns and Gambo Show on your drive home.
Are you ready for this?
All right, let's go.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
At this point, we're all very familiar with who is not going to be playing for the Phoenix Suns tonight in their home finale. Who is? I mean... Yeah, who is playing? Who's
Steve Nash ain't walking through that door.
Who's your starting five on the floor for the Phoenix Suns tonight?
Mari Stoudemire not walking through that door.
Take your best shot. Take your best stab at your starting five for the Phoenix Suns tonight. Off the top of your head. Okobo?
Oh, my God. All right.
Mikal?
Okay, so Mikal Bridges.
Bender?
Bender will start it, yeah.
Holmes.
Okay, Holmes, Okobo.
And Josh Jackson.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, makes sense. Start Jimmer.
Okobo, Josh Jackson.
Let him go for 40 tonight.
Mikal Bridges, Dragan Bender, and Rashawn Holmes will be. I mean, that's like a preseason basketball lineup right there. I mean, it's tough. I mean, look, Booker... Done. Oubre, done. Tyler Johnson, surgery, done. TJ Warren, though they continue to not say he's done. You had reported yesterday, you're hearing he's not going to play anymore. And DeAndre Ayton's already been ruled out for tonight's game with two road games after tonight. We'll see if it's done. Yesterday, here on the Burns and Gambo Show, in our friends over at Suns Insider, and we got a lot of nice play with them on social media. We do appreciate the list that they came up with at first. They came up with a list of the five weirdest things to happen to the Suns in the 2018-19 season.
Yes.
And then they quickly realized that they missed so many different things that happened to the Suns.
They added to it.
They changed it and turned it into a top, basically, 11 list. A top 10 list with a bonus 11th thing thrown in there. In fairness, and in the interest of presenting the other side of the coin, if you will, the positives of the 2018-19 season for the Suns. What were they?
If I do my own list here?
Sure.
Positives? The trade of Kelly Oubre stands out to me as one of the biggest positives. They got themselves a stud player who's young, fits the timeline, and they got him for nothing. They got him for that bum, Trevor Ariza. A bum. They got rid of a bum, and they added a young player who could be a part of their future for a long time if they're able to keep him. I mean, that is a major positive. When was the last time you've seen the Suns win a trade like that? Like, that's a win. You won that trade. I mean, you won it.
Trying to think of the last time I think of it that they won.
Reevaluate that trade now. Suns get an A.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to give, D for Washington. That's a big win for the Phoenix Suns, the Kelly Oubre
trade. Okay, I would agree. That's one. What else?
I would say DeAndre Ayton. I mean, they got themselves a good young center. He's good. He's a good player. He's not the rookie of the year. He wasn't as good as Doncic. He wasn't as good as Trae Young. He's not the rookie of the year, but he put up numbers that are great. He put up numbers like don't look down upon what he did as a rookie center with no point guard on this roster. I mean, DeAndre Ayton ended up having a very good rookie season. He averaged 16.3 points, 10.3 rebounds, shot 58.5% from the floor. It's the highest field goal percentage by a rookie, averaging a double-double in NBA history. I mean, that's a positive. He's only going to get better. He's only going to get better. His first year in the NBA was good. It was good. He was a good player. He's not Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris and Alex Len. They got themselves a center. He'll be here for a while. He'll get a new contract.
Yeah, I know how you feel about this one. I think Suns fans, I mean, we're always going to look at Luka Doncic and wonder what if. And there's always going to be that. Because, yes, you got a good player, but you might not have gotten the best player. And there's a lesson to be applied here for the Cardinals when it comes to this decision they're going to make at their quarterback spot. You know, they might end up with a good quarterback, but if they don't pick the best quarterback, history will judge them for that. And I think the same sort of applies for the Suns and the choice they made last year. Did they get a good player? Yes, they got a good player. Did they get the best player when they had the opportunity to select the best player? That jury is still out. We won't have a final verdict on that for years, probably. But right now, the early returns, the percentage of precincts reporting would suggest that the Suns did not, in fact, get the best player in that draft last year. They got a good one, but not the best one.
I'll give you two more. Devin Booker's playmaking ability took on a different level this year than it had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He became a good playmaker. He had to handle the ball. They did not have a point guard. He averaged almost 7 assists per game. I mean, Devin Booker found a way to be a facilitator. He found a way to, you know, to try to get other guys involved. And look, at times, I mean, they were without a lot of key players, and he had to score the basketball. But Devin Booker showed some real ability to handle the ball, to, you know, point book. Was something that at times was successful, not in the wins and losses, but in his ability to go average 7 assists per game.
Mm-hmm.
There were games recently where he had 11 assists, 10 assists. I think when he had 13, like, he was playing really well. His development as a player continued to grow.
All right, what's the last one? I'm laughing because I just got a tweet. I'm sorry, I got a text.
Go ahead.
I have to read this. So the best thing the Suns did this year was an accident?
Yes.
Right?
The best thing was the Kelly Oubre trade.
The best thing they did this year was an accident.
Yep.
Was an oops.
Yep.
Something they didn't intend to do.
Hey, I don't care how he got here. He got here.
I don't know if I can say out loud who sent me that text, but I saw it and I just couldn't think about anything else. So the best thing the Suns did
Greg
this
Esposito?
Year. I don't know if he wants me saying his name, but I got a text from a buddy, and so the best thing the Suns did this year was an accident.
It's like throwing buddies under the bus is a good thing. Why not?
Well, you really enjoyed doing it. I thought you didn't out your sources. I thought that's
buddies.
I don't know. I don't know if he wanted to be outed.
That's not
I'm
a
not
source.
Quite sure. Well, he might not want to have his name attached to that. He might want to be anonymous. I don't know.
The last one is one that you're not going to, you know, that a lot of people may not agree with, but they have an unbelievable asset again. Getting another, you know, top pick in the draft is an asset. Now, whether they use it on a player or they use it to make a trade, they have an asset that can be used.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they use it the right way and don't waste it, and something good comes out of it. But that, you know, that ended up being a positive that they've got a really good asset.
By the way, and I want to thank everybody on Twitter who pointed this out. I did not see this earlier today.
Okay.
Rashawn Holmes is out tonight, too. There's no Rashawn Holmes. So my projected starting lineup, all right, just take a black Sharpie and draw through.
Suns have just signed Horacio Llamas.
Rashawn Holmes' name.
Jake Sokolidis is on a one-day contract. Paul Shirley back in Phoenix.
I don't know who their starting five is going to be tonight.
Steven Hunter's in the building.
I really don't know. I mean,
God, you want me to find out?
No, you don't. It's really not. It's not.
It really doesn't matter that much. I can't think of it now off the top of my head who that would be. When we come back on
I'll find out.
Okay, you find out for me. I appreciate it. The Arizona Cardinals going through a complete overhaul this offseason. Does Josh Rosen need to be moved to make that transformation complete? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.